Okay, shalom then. Welcome to the meeting. We have interesting things going on the world. Anyone has any comments? Because we are done with the news brief, I guess, the last time, but I missed it.
Well, we can talk about what should be in the next news brief.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I like this.
Yeah.
As you talk about what was in the news brief, you can talk about what will be in the news.
Okay, then. Maitreya, what are you going to write about?
The whole idea was you guys give me some ideas of the news brief for the news brief for next time, guys. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. Well, I took my chances, you know. Sure. Or a sad song or something.
Sure.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess the earthquake, tsunami, and what's happening over there in Japan with the nuclear power plants. And also in the Middle East, what's going on? What do you guys think about Libya? How are the news in the States about Libya and what's going on over there?
About what?
Libya?
Libya. Gaddafi.
The Gaddafi, yeah.
Well, that's gotten so confusing that the news media is almost afraid to report it. Because some of the rebel fighters that we've been supporting, allegedly, have said that they will be heading to Afghanistan as soon as this conflict is over so they can fight against the Americans in Afghanistan. But we're supporting them in Libya. Now, another interesting piece of news is that President Obama is going to Reno, Nevada tomorrow. And from there, he's going to what they call the TFFR, the site that includes Area 51, Area 52, and the largest nuclear stockpile of weapons in the world in Nevada, northeast corner of Nevada. And apparently, there was some anomaly last week where something shot out of the ground and went towards Washington, D.C. at a Mach 6 speed, and it was diverted and wound up heading into the Antarctic area. I'm sure you all heard about that, right?
No. Uh-uh. No.
I can Google it right now.
Was it in coast to coast?
No, it's not coast to coast. I'm not a Dory fan at all.
Oh, okay.
I thought maybe God making a statement. Interesting.
So what happened? Something came out of Arizona and then went to North Pole?
Close. It came out of Nevada and went to the South Pole. Well, I think you got the idea.
What do they think it is?
Well, they don't know, but the military has requested Obama's presence in Nevada for some reason.
Hmm. Well, you mean like a missile or something? Launch?
The details are very vague. It was a bright object that was moving faster than anything that we currently can produce. So it's a mystery.
I thought he was going to Nevada to gamble to try to get the deficit down.
Well, that's how it got to where it is. So bring it down there.
That is one thing people in America are pretty angry about in terms of the Libya conflict, is the amount of money, again, that it costs. You know, I've heard a lot of anger about that.
There are now people saying that there's no turning back, that the United States is on a course of destruction economically. There's just no way it's ever going to recover. Yeah.
Is it anything on the news about Iran or how Iran is maybe helping?
Helping whom?
What's happening in the Middle East with like the people against like the governments?
I haven't heard anything.
No.
That Middle East situation is so confusing right now. The past few days, the Saudi Arabian government sent troops to Bahrain to put down the uprising there. I don't know how that got covered in the U.S. news. But there are so many conflicting stories coming out of the Middle East, and there are so many regimes in jeopardy. And it seems that they are looking at Gaddafi to see if his methods are going to produce the desired results. So it's total chaos, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Because I was watching a news program last night, and they were talking about the influence of Iran. And the influence of Iran.
Oh, yeah.
Or how they are trying to, like, influence, in fact.
Do the people in Middle East also believe that?
Well, at least they were talking about it last night. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For example, is Turkey really believes that Iran is that powerful, can have influence on Middle East?
No, I've never heard this before. And I think Turks know the real situation in Iran because somehow, even secretly, the trade goes on with Iran. Mm-hmm. And even I have some friends traveled there, a couple times,
mm-hmm.
and they say like they are really not that in good shape. Even the airplanes and things like that are not like they're old. Everything's old. And yeah, people are not really. At least this is what I'm told, like, comfortable.
So what do you think they are trying to say, all this thing that, because when I remember when I was there, it wasn't a very powerful country. And in 30 years, suddenly, sound like they're saying he is as powerful as the West or Europe and United States and all that. Just doesn't make sense to me. Of course, I haven't been there for years. I was just wondering if really people in Middle East believe that, or are they really that powerful in 30 years?
No, I don't think they are.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just talking about if like these rebels, especially like these the ones in Libya,
mm-hmm.
Like who are they, or are they, are there people, foreign people from other countries? And they talked about Iran in that content.
I don't know who these people, those rebels in Lebanon, though. I mean, in
Libya
is are one thing for sure. No matter. I tell you what they do, it's not going to work. Because they're not listening to God and His way. His way is the mission's way. The only thing, their salvation, is they realize that there's only one God, one religion, one humanity, and they have to come together and reach to a space, and the standard of living of everybody goes higher, and they have to use the natural ways. Apparently, they can't control the power of atomic power and other things they do to the nature. Nature always wins. You know, why God put the atomic energy underneath the earth and covered it? Because it's not natural. It doesn't belong to earth. It destroys it. If they insist they're going to use atomic energy, eventually they're going to destroy themselves. With war and destruction and scratching each other's face. As Gandhi said, if everybody goes an eye for an eye, then nobody's going to have an eye.
Yeah. And some of the like countries in Europe, like France, I just listened to this in the news also, at least 70% of their energy comes from nuclear plants, nuclear power. Mm-hmm. I thought that was amazing. That's a lot.
I heard someone else saying that the same thing was true for Japan, actually, that they pretty much went all nuclear. And
Both of them, actually, France and Japan, are the two countries that have the most nuclear power. Yeah. And still, both of them need some oil, but you're right, Japan and France, both of them, they went nuclear because they thought they can control it. And of course, Japan in 1 hour was destroyed completely. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're ever going to come back as they were before. And just imagine if that radiation goes all through the island. That island is not going to be livable for 10,000 years. Mm-hmm. Is that what humanity wants to do with the nuclear? Mm-hmm. Just imagine if you have 20 accidents like Chernobyl and Japan. Mm-hmm. How many places of the earth is not going to be livable for a long time?
Almost none of it.
Mm-hmm. So we can see the urgency of this mission, the urgency of, you know, bringing back humanity from the brink of self-destruction. So, again, we are the answer. There's no doubt about that. The only way is humanity have to come together and realize there is one God. One humanity, one God, one teaching. And they are all brothers and sisters. If they cannot understand that, they're going to be in trouble. Yeah, well, I didn't want to be heavy tonight. It's you guys meeting. Go ahead.
Well, I think that's fine.
Yeah, it is very heavy out there. It's very heavy, everything that's happening on all levels. There's no level that's okay.
It's not, yeah. It's not okay. It's not okay, and of course God is doing it, and I have no problem with whatever the mission is at, because whatever I needed to do the mission was provided. If it's nothing coming, power is not needed at this time. Mm-hmm. But everybody should realize this is your religion, this is your revelation. God sent it to you, and you are, you know, a part of, you know, spreading the message and letting people know that their salvation is this, that's it. Yeah, come together and create communities and be one, your brothers and sisters in God. Yeah. And if you don't believe this is the answer, tell me why not. Oh, go ahead.
I think this is the answer. That's so obvious, in fact. But for some reason, of course, God knows the best. People are not even listening. Like I read, listen to the news, look around on TV, or talk to people, and nobody's even questioning, like, so why? Or is what? What's God is completely out. Nobody's asking, so what's God to do with this, or what's happening, and why, and is there a plan, is there a way out? Nobody's even asking that.
Well, you know, there's basically two types of people out there, those who really don't care about the spiritual things and about their relationship to God, and those people who do care and think they've already found the answer and are not willing to listen to another explanation. I spent the last 3 days, 4 days, let's see, I saw Kyoshin Saturday, so from Sunday on, I was in the heart of Baptist country down in North Carolina, staying at the home of a friend who I discovered has become a wannabe Baptist preacher. And I heard 3 days of, are you saved? Why aren't you saved? Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Why not? You know, do you not want everlasting life? It's in the Bible. And I went to a sermon Sunday night and listened to a preacher string together various phrases from the Old Testament and the New Testament, trying to create a symbiosis of a sermon, but the pieces were not related to each other. And I felt like saying something. This is like listening to a collage of biblical phrases. It's not a sermon. It's just a bunch of phrases strung together that have no relationship to each other, but somewhere in there he felt he was getting his message across. And I'm not knocking Christianity, and I'm not knocking the Baptists, but my point is that they believe so firmly in what they've been conditioned to believe that they're almost afraid to admit that there might be another approach.
Yeah, but we have that those kind of people like in every part of the world, in every religion, but they're not really like the majority. If you look, I think in every society, the majority of people are looking for something that will give them peace. Like they go to work, they watch TV, they do, you know, they are like productive, and they do things. And they usually, many people don't really belong to radical groups. I'm talking about those people, you know, but even those are not like looking or searching for an answer in the sense that God is beyond all this, and there's that, not in a dogmatic way, but...
I mean, there's a difference between wanting peace and searching for peace. That's where most people lose it, is because searching is difficult, very difficult. And it seems overwhelming. And that's the same reason that, I mean, people become dogmatic about baptism, about, you know, Catholicism, Islam, Sunni, Shia, Hindu, Sikh, science, philosophy. It's just the nature of human to develop a narrow mindset and not want to include all parts, but just pick something. It's very difficult. Like... It's especially if you don't know about, like, sometimes I feel like I have no perspective because I sort of grew up in this, so I have no idea what it's like to, like, live 40, 50 years with not even a concept that it's possible to unify or it's possible to have all the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like you just lose all hope, I think. And so you eventually just have to accept something. I mean, that was happening to me, too. I was going a little crazy. I was going the opposite. I had lost all hope of accepting anything, you know. I had completely rejected the idea that there was truth, period, at all. You know, it's because so you have to go wrong some way if you don't have an answer. And so... You know, some people just accept a religion and close their eyes, or other people just sort of escape, like run away from it their whole lives. And it's all really sad. Yeah, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, at this time in history, too, there's there's so many things out there more than ever for people to distract themselves with, you know, mm-hmm. so that mm-hmm. you're not looking for the purpose and you're not looking for God, because I have to pull myself back all the time and remember the mission and remember why I'm here. And, you know, it's so easy, especially when you're, you know, even with the mission off on your own, you know, as one person, I suppose it's easier if there's, you know, two or three people that are with the mission living in one place. But anyways, yeah, just adding that to the discussion.
It's just like the prophecies say, right before the coming of the kingdom, the Maya intensifies and the confusion intensifies. So, yeah, there's more distractions. There's also more ideas. I mean, there have always been a lot of religions and a lot of people who think they know. But especially with the internet, now everyone can read. You know, you look up any word and you get thousands of possibilities. Mm-hmm. It's enough to make anyone give up, kind of just mm-hmm. throw up their hands. Say forget it, you know, and it all gets so muddled together that, yeah.
Even if you do a search on the internet for unification, there are thousands of websites that talk about unification, but they all have their, I didn't look at all the thousands, but the few that I looked at, they all have their own dogma. You know, it's pretty fascinating, and most of those websites don't even mention God.
But we also have to remember that, again, like, clarity always comes with the prophecies, that we are only looking for 144,000, and that's not even 1%. So when we look at the world and we see so many people not interested, even that is to be expected. We should not be surprised. And every once in a while, you do meet someone who is different. Like, I have, you know, they really are looking.
Sure. And,
that's the difference.
And, you know, the population keeps increasing, but the 144,000 number stays the same.
So it's easier to find 144,000 every day?
Lawyer? I guess it'll be harder.
How much is the 144,000 compared with 7 billion? What percentage is that?
It's almost 8 billion now.
Is it? Yeah, so 8 billion then. A drop in the bucket?
Less than a fourth. Less than a third.
That's cute.
Billion. No, that's wrong.
You know, I went to a Passover Seder that a friend invited me to this Monday evening, and there I met the rabbi and his wife, and they were very nice. But toward the end of the Seder, it was really interesting. The rabbi was talking about the Messiah and the New Jerusalem. I didn't have a chance to talk to him after that, but if I get to go to their congregation again, which might be a possibility, I think I'm going to hand him a card for the mission and say, you need to check this out. The Messiah is here. I thought it was neat that he mentioned, you know, too, about the New Jerusalem, not just Jerusalem, but New Jerusalem.
That'd be great. And to answer your question, Maitreya, it's 0.0018%.
Oh, wow. That's less than a fourth.
A little less than a fourth. It's not too much.
Very, very below a fourth.
It's not even 1%.
Not even 1%.
Don't put me in charge of the math.
So we are looking for the elects, which are drop in the bucket.
Yeah,
and as prophesied, like there's confusion. People are lost, but that's okay. We all know this.
Do you know when we're gonna find them? When you created those centers.
Well, how do we create the sinners? You've got to pick a spot and do it, I think.
Yeah.
Well, are you looking for a job, Louisa?
I'm looking for a direction. You know, I've been wandering a long time, and I don't have much time left to send my efforts out in meaningless directions. So I'd rather do nothing than do something that's a waste of time.
Haven't you found it yet?
I have a better understanding than I did a few years ago, but there's still something in the way.
What is it?
Me.
That's a big one.
Actually, I have no attachments, I have no commitments, I have no reason for being where I am. I would leave for Albuquerque next week if I thought there was some place to live and some type of work I could do part-time to sustain myself. I have nothing stopping me except the fear of going out there and living in the streets, you know.
Well, we can guarantee that there are jobs here, and, you know, but I understand that it's not that easy. But
well, I wanted to be a topless dancer in a Baptist nightclub, but I don't know where to start looking. That was a joke, guys. Topless dancer in a Baptist nightclub, you know.
You can hitch a ride with me in about a year if you feel like it. If you're not already there.
Yeah, Kiyosha, I know, but I don't know if I have a year to sit around and wait.
I know. It's in God's hands.
Why do you say that? Do you have the kind of a problem that somebody told you you're not going to leave more than 2 years?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right.
A Mayan prophet told me I was going to cancel out on December 21st, 2012.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying, that you don't have time, or you have something else?
Actually, I was being facetious again. That's the date, that, you know, the famous date of the end of the Mayan calendar, which I think it just means they haven't found the next page of the calendar yet. I don't think that's the end of time.
Not according to our teaching, so they might be right in a sense that the old era will be finished and it's going to take another 7 years for the new era to down. According to our teaching, by 2017, this mission will start manifesting in a much more powerful way. So that might be the reason they finished the 12th in 2012, because the old era will be finished by then. But the new era is coming. It's not the end of the world.
Actually, most of the actual Mayan scholars, if you like sift through all of the conspiracy and horror theories, the actual Mayan scholars say that in fact the Mayan calendar begins again immediately after it ends. Mm-hmm. It's the ending of one cycle of the calendar and the beginning of another.
Right.
So it actually fits in perfectly. It's just people don't research to the full extent. They only see the scare and the fear and they stop.
But also, if it is not a scare, it's not news.
Yeah, and sensationalism sells more National Enquirers than anything else.
Yep. Is that great?
And before I forget to mention, Maciej, we talked about the lights.
No, I can hear a lot of sound. What is that?
I think maybe Vibrisa, you're adjusting your mic or something.
Everybody stop breathing. Just for a moment.
Okay. Go ahead, Eunice. I couldn't hear. You asked me a question. I couldn't hear. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say we talked about if there were flights from Turkey to Tehran to Iran once. Now they have direct flights. I found out. I wanted to mention this out of topic, but and now it's $1,300.
Sarajit, it's you.
Okay. I think that time it was.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I just caught it that time.
Okay. Thanks, yeah. Because I heard the other one pretty loud.
Seriously. So when it happened, you can hear who's talking.
Right.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, that I ask you if there is a direct flight from Turkey to Tehran.
It was in the past, but it's
Well, I'm thinking if I ever get a chance and we have the resources, I don't mind coming to Turkey and going to Iran. I have some property there. I might want to make them, you know, in a, just finalize them, and also go to India and or maybe Mecca. You know, just go a tour over there. It would be nice, but if it didn't happen, that would be fine too. But yeah, it sounds like that something recently happened between Turkey and Iran, and also I think Egypt. Now they have a better relationship with them.
Yes, and yeah, it is not that expensive. So from Istanbul to Tehran, round trip is $300. So.
Yeah, it's not the at the top of my agenda. But if it happened, it's fine.
Yeah. First, we need to have standards going on.
That would be nice.
By the way, if anyone was wondering, to quickly go back to an earlier topic, considering the 144,000 per 8 billion, it means that for every 50,000 people we reach, we should find one elect.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Consider it that way.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense. Haven't we reached, if that is true, how many people are in the mission?
20 or something, 25.
So that times 50,000. So it's around, we have reached a couple of million people then. Not even a billion.
Nope.
And it would be nice if you reach them maybe before next year.
How about before next year? Why before next year?
Because well, before
2012?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Give me the way to do it, I will. Or we will. Will you? Will you help me to do that?
Yes.
Sure, definitely.
Okay, good.
Maybe more younger people now that are that would be interested, as they are trying to make sense out of this and try to find a way.
Unfortunately, the only way to reach large numbers of people is to get the attention of the mass media, and the only way to do that is to do something totally bizarre, because they don't report on the normal. They only report on things that are, you know, unusual and extreme. So unless you're willing to do something unusual and extreme, you're not going to get the media's attention.
Maybe we should announce that we are going to burn all the stupid of the world.
Or melt them and then combine them.
Yeah, and combine them.
I was going to say, maybe we should announce that we're putting all the scriptures of the world together and making them happy next to each other. I think that would be more of a splash. How dare you?
Yeah. Publish a book that has all the seven scriptures in one book. We already have that one.
We already have that.
So I think just saying the Messiah is here is unusual enough. Don't they get that?
Yeah, you need to go on Bill O'Reilly's show and prove him wrong.
What did he say? That's what Benjamin Krim tried to do, kind of. He was on Bill Maher. But, I mean, he sort of already took the prophet is here shine. Nobody listens to him anymore. So.
Listen to whom? The
Krim.
Not the Krim.
He got a lot of high-profile interviews for a while, but now it's gone. Sensation is past.
What did O'Reilly say?
Well, you know, O'Reilly is a very opinionated person, and he likes to bring people on his show so he can argue with them and show them up to be, of no consequence so he can be the king. I don't watch that show. I don't have a television. But back a few years ago, I did watch it. I was always waiting for somebody to prove O'Reilly's wrong.
Well, if anybody can set up any interview with anybody, I'll participate, even with Briley.
I have this idea that God is not making this possible because even if my chair go on a TV and have an interview. I'm not sure even those people that will listen to it are going to hear the message or have good exposure, but maybe will take it lightly or not seriously and will go down as another just another one of those news someone goes on and says, claims things.
Like many others out there.
Yeah.
Well, when I started the mission, everything I needed came together with no problem. Any small little things I need, it comes to me very easily. Therefore, if God wanted this to happen, it would have happened very easily. So as you said, I agree with you. The thief of the night, he really means it.
And I think he's making sure you come back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, this lifetime, he never prophesied there is going to be a crucifixion or a stoning or... God even says he did not go to the street. Mm-hmm. And he's right. We are in the internet. I'm not in the street. And so we have to accept. Even this week, somebody called here, a Jewish girl wanted an interview with Maitreya. And she said, okay, we get back to you. And I actually decided I'm going to take the invitation and have the interview. And we can get her in the phone, or she never called back, so... even that's not going to happen. It's in a sense, God says no, completely stay in the shadow of everything, because the thing is happening. It's amazing on earth.
Well, it's just like when I was dealing with my Baptist friends, and I started to mention to them that there is a current Messiah who's filling the same role that Jesus filled back then. The reaction I got from that was somewhat incredible. So I decided before this thing gets violent, I'm going to drop it.
Well, actually, most of them don't want the cars come back because, well, they have their own power and prestige and position. And if Christ back, they have to listen to him. And they don't want to do that. As you said, they already think they found it. And they are right. If Christ came and said, no, you're not right, what happens? That's no good.
That is what he did.
That's what?
That is what he did.
That they're not right.
That's right.
That's what we did too.
That's what I mean. You already did that.
Yep.
But then you can clearly show them in their scripture how Christ had so many threes, and he was the, you know, angel of the third seal. It's just inescapable, that kind of truth.
Yep. Yeah, if you really understand our teaching, you don't have any choice but say, whoa. There's so much truth in it that it's impossible for a human to bring it all together so clearly. So there's no choice, but it is from God. Go ahead.
And it doesn't change.
Doesn't change, no. Mm-mm.
And about the media, I like what Vibizo said about, or we talked about, like, they're having, looking for sensational things. That's even getting ridiculous things. I remember, like, when I first started the center in my parents' hometown, I was working with kids with cancer. What is it? Anyway, some of them, like, I taught, I teach them the meditation process. And many of them were using it, the kids. And some of them had some dramatic, like, changes. Even those who were said that, you know, they cannot recover. And this didn't make the news. And in this small town, you know, someone working with them voluntarily and they're getting better, or, you know, this kind of thing didn't make the news. But for one meeting when I was going there, I already shaved my head, so I shaved my eyebrows also, just to look like them. And this made the news. The next day I was on the national like channels saying that a psychologist did this.
I'll do that. If that helps the mission. I'll do that.
But it didn't help even the senders. You know, I was only on TV, and maybe it will help sometime. You know, the people will realize, oh, we've been doing this.
No, it doesn't really matter. None of the really important. The most important thing is that we know it is the truth, and wait for it to happen, and wait for the people eventually be inspired to do it. One of the things I was very aware from the very beginning, not to create a cult, and I don't. It's really your religion. You can stay wherever you want, you can be whatever you want, but you have received the truth. You now are connected to God and between you and him. I'm just here to guide and inspire and wait for real Paraviprasas to show up.
And remember that we are the pioneers. It's not the same, you know. There is no safety net for us. The communities are not already created for us to join. That is not what it means to be a pioneer. The pioneers create the communities. The pioneers go on a limb with nothing, basically. in order to do so, because they have to. You know, the people that came over from America had no assurance that they'd find anything but barren rock, but that's what they did because, you know, someone had to start. And Maitreya himself, you've always said that, you know, you literally started this mission with 10 cents in your pocket and immigration trying to kick you out. And that's all you had, literally, and here's where it's come to. So, you know, and Christ always said, like, don't think about, you know, your next meal or whatever. He gives to the birds everything they need, and they are much less than you, so of course he will take care of you also. Just focus on doing the will of the Father. Mm-hmm. And so, it's not easy, but it's kind of the responsibility of everyone in the mission at this stage, if they can, you know, to push that. Because otherwise it's never going to get started. Somebody has to do this. We can't all just wait for it to happen and then come. At some point we have to take a stand and say that we're going to be the ones to struggle and suffer and start this so that other people can enjoy it.
That is the people we are waiting for. We don't have to tell them. They already know this in their heart. That is how they're going to do it, and they do it. And, that's great, guys. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Beautiful. And the pioneers are the ones who get to reap the most rewards and have the most adventure in the process, it seems like, because,
absolutely.
You know, thinking about the pioneers of the United States, you know, that's the way it was for them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not to have an ego or anything, or to have any sort of, like, feeling good about it, but in the future, when people look back on this time period, you know, like, and they're gonna, you know, wish they were the pioneers, I think. And that's not as an ego way, it's a way to say that there is also a great reward in great struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, how many Christians do you think are like, I wish I was one of the apostles, without realizing what that actually means, you know? Like how difficult it was, you know?
Yeah. Well, what part of the country do you think would be most susceptible to starting a, I won't say a church, but at least a place where you could have general public come in and listen to lectures? Rather than on the internet, a place where you have live teachers talking to people face to face, what part of the country would that be? Would be most susceptible or agreeable to that?
Rio Rancho.
Yes, we have a place here. We already call it the New Jerusalem, and I'm waiting for the resources if. This lifetime or next lifetime, it is a little mount, like Mount Zion.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the beginning of the creation of the center for people to come and visit, and we can talk face to face. Of course, if anybody is interested to talk to me face to face, they can come to the center here. It's a humble center, but I'm available to them. And
where is this place located you just described, the Mount Zion?
It's around a couple of miles from where we are right now.
In Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Not only is this the place where we want to start everything, it's also the place where we have the greatest support in the mission right now. It's not much, but it's the largest, you know, it's the place where there is the most concentration. So it's where both the resources are concentrated, and also where we should begin.
Do you know, Vibrizo, why Rio Rancho is the chosen city and is called New Jerusalem?
No, I don't.
There wasn't any city called Rio Rancho even 35 years ago. And then I decided to come to start the mission. The first day I came to Denver, then I decided and eventually dropped the school and the persuasion of the immigration office and all that, but he said, well, I have to go to this mission. The first day I came to Denver, there was a truck for another Marga, the organization I was in, was coming from Albuquerque to Denver, which it's capsized. And everybody started saying, hey, it came from Albuquerque. I didn't know even what Albuquerque was, and I've never heard actually about New Mexico. And also there was a article about the Albuquerque, how Albuquerque there is no pollution, while Denver was very polluted and air was not good. And eventually, after a year or two, we were in Denver, we decided we have to move, and we couldn't find resources for supporting the mission until we find place in Albuquerque, New Mexico, then we could come and have the financial backing to continue the mission. And I already know the number 4 is the number of manifestation. Do you know how far is Denver to Albuquerque?
How much, 400 miles?
How many miles is from Denver to Albuquerque? It's 444 miles, exactly. And then when we came here, even Rio Rancho wasn't even built then. And God said, the city is hidden, and it will come from the sky. Then eventually we decided we want to buy a property, we want to buy a house. And we looked all over the Albuquerque, the back of the mountain. Actually, we almost bought a house in the back of the mountain, and it didn't go through. And we eventually end up in Rio Rancho. Sometime later, the city decided to have a motto, have something for the city, just like some cities have, you know, some names, some motto. Some, anybody remember a city with some kind of a motto for it that are famous for? Twin City, for example, they call Albuquerque Twin City and all that.
New York, the Big Apple.
Big Apple, exactly. You know what they came up with for Rio Rancho? City of Vision.
Mm-hmm. City of Vision.
Mm-hmm. So, and then, of course, there was a prophecy that came to the Joseph Smith. He was looking for a city which is close to the mountain, and there is a plateau, and the great river comes through it. It's all fulfilled here with this city. So there was no city by the Colorado Rancho. All this thing happened, and it came up and manifested in 30 years. And now it's the second biggest city in New Mexico, and there were many articles that it was the fastest growing city in the United States, and many other things. So it is completely shown this is the new Jerusalem, and even it is in the same latitude as Jerusalem.
And altitude.
Which one is correct, latitude or altitude?
Both. It's in the same latitude, as in it's exactly the same spot on the Earth, like horizontally, and it's also the same altitude because they're both about a mile up.
So, with all this, this is the place. This is the place to create center. This is place to build the first temple. And we are waiting for people to come and do it. Come together, put their heads and minds and resources together and build the foundation of this mission. And if we can build a temple here, that's going to become a conversation piece. It's going to become a tourist attraction and visiting center for people. And we can make it a beautiful place that people come and experience the unity of God and religions.
I just looked.
Let's do it. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just looked it up. Apparently, it's not actually the same altitude. Only Tehran is the same altitude, but it's the same latitude. So.
Latitude. Yeah, altitude. I think is the horizontal circle. From the north to south.
That's the longitude. Altitude is how high from the ocean it is. How high up?
What is the one goes from the north? Around the Earth.
Longitude.
Longitude, yeah.
Latitude, longitude, and altitude, yeah.
Yeah, they are in the same longitude.
They can't...
Albuquerque, Jerusalem, and Tehran, they're all in the same longitude.
Latitude, that would be latitude.
No, the round one.
It doesn't matter, but... Anyway, they're all in the same
anyway,
spot.
I always have a problem with that, too.
They're all in the same spot around the Earth. That's all
altitude,
that matters.
But it's not correct. Longitude. What's the other one?
Latitude.
Latitude, right.
Longitude.
Anyway, if you look, they are in the same circle line on Earth. That's why the weather are so similar to each other.
Also, there's many Native American prophecies about how safe this area is, and it's a very special area.
Absolutely. Even they believe that the city is hidden.
Mm-hmm. So the conclusion, once again, is we know where God wants his next city to be built. And we are looking for the elites, which are a really small percentage. But they will know the truth. They will recognize his voice, his truth, the realizations. They will come. And the world is in confusion, and people are lost. But it might get even worse. Mm-hmm. So the world might get to us, but we have the truth. We are blessed by God, mm-hmm. all thanks to him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there isn't much to do, but just follow the way, I guess.
And also whoever loves the mission, we welcome them to the mission. And if they are willing to change to the God's way, that's all the requirement there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Eunice. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
And I think all we can do is just thank God for the opportunity of being the pioneers and witnessing all this.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a good spot to finish this meeting, huh?
Sure.
Anyone else, any other comments?
Sure.
If anyone can, next time they see Naomi, can ask her, you know, if she needs help getting to it, I can work with her or something to test it before next meeting.
Okay.
Because it'd be really nice to get her in. So, just let me know.
All right.
Who's playing the harmonica?
Fabrizio.
Naomi.
Do you know how to play it?
Oh, Katharina.
I have my own style.
Is that our difference again?
I hope that she had figured it out.
I have my own style, and Neil Young and Bob Dylan can't have it.
Do you want to play for us?
Well, that'll get everybody out of the room in a hurry, won't it?
You what?
He said, well, that'll get everybody out of the room in a hurry.
But that's a one way to end the meeting.
It's about time, huh?
That's a beautiful thing to play on the harmonica, the Hari Om Shri Hum on a harmonica.
You know, we ought to try that sometime. When I listen to the chanting, I often think that it would be nice to have some harmonics behind it.
Mm-hmm. That's often chanting is done with harmonics. It's just, again, a question of we're not at that point yet, but we would love that. Actually, there are some of the recordings which do have that, some of the Hosh that you can download from the FTP site. Actually, there's a recording of someone playing the Hosh mantra with a harmonica. So.
As was Ishwara.
I also do some djembe drumming, you know, the African drumming.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful.
I'm trying to play that with more of a Latino rhythm, and I haven't quite got it worked out yet.
That'd be fantastic, yeah.
Keep it in mind for the Feast of Tabernacles, for the talent night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then maybe I can learn how to tap dance by then.
Tap dance on the drums while playing the harmonica?
Yeah. That would be amazing.
You're a man of many talents, and you do them all at the same time. Shalom, Katharina. I was hoping that we wouldn't... Yeah. I'm sorry to say, Katharina, but you're an hour too late again. I had hoped that last month, when that happened, that you'd be able to switch it off to the correct time this month. But don't forget that...
That was not the problem. It was me who was late by purpose.
Okay. All right. Then that sounds good. All right.
I have a very wonderful but busy day coming up, and it's in the middle of the night here. So
sure.
I woke up. I thought, shall I go to a meeting? It was a little bit too early. I will wait. I fell back asleep. I was waking up. I thought, yes, I go to the meeting. A little late, but no problem.
Okay, great. Good to have you for the last few minutes.
Yeah, thank you.
Shalom, Katharina.
Shalom.
Great.
I don't know if Kiyosha told you, but we got a chance to meet over this past weekend. It was nice for me to meet somebody from the mission.
Oh.
Yeah, she did send us an email. She sounded like it was a good experience. So.
Yeah, it was a very, very nice meeting. It was great to meet Vibrizo, or Arvon.
No, I've gone back to Vibrizo. The Arvon is, I use that in different places, but not here.
How did the meeting go?
Good. Well, we had a good chance to get to speak a little bit. I saw some of Kiyosha's art craft work, and I was very impressed. But then, you know, the place started filling up with people, and we couldn't talk anymore.
But we did talk about, I had talked with Sarah a day or two earlier, and we talked about the idea of, several people, maybe ending up in Albuquerque or Rio Rancho area, which to me is very appealing. I would love to be able to share a house with some other people that love the mission. I think that would be a very economical way to go and hopefully very good fellowship as well. So that was one thing that we did, touch on.
Yeah, Brad wanted to do that too, but after he came here, we haven't heard anything from him. Also with Rizzo and Paul, that probably most people know him as Oregano. He come to the room in the pal talk as Oregano, and possibility Lou. So quite a few people, they want to come, and they keep saying they like to do this, but haven't done it yet, so... I'm waiting for them to somehow get together and maybe make some arrangement to come here and see where we'll go from there.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be nice if more people come and be close and help each other out.
Yeah, it would. And, I mean, I can't sell this place until about middle of, a little before the middle of next year. But once it sells, there's nothing to hold me back. So hopefully maybe some other things will develop with some other people by that time. So it'll be interesting. It's definitely interesting to see where that is by then.
Yes, it will, if God's will is mm-hmm. there. That's all I have to say.
Riza, do you want to play us off?
Shalom.
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom. Shalom. Thanks, God.
Shalom.
Thanks,
Shalom.
God. Shalom. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom, everyone.